where we go now to music of Erich Eschenwald's.
Lord, for light and was so sure.
You were just listening to Long Road. The composer of this recent work, dating from 2010, was the young Latvian Eriks Eschenvalds, who was born in 1977 and is here live in the WPRB studio all the way until 11 o'clock. Eriks Eschenvalds is here in America for the premiere performance by the chamber choir, The Crossing of Seneca's Zodiac, a work which was presented yesterday at the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill in Philadelphia. Eriks Eschenvalds received his bachelor's and master's degrees at the Latvian Academy of Music and has furthered his study at various international master classes. He has received many, many prizes and awards. Eriks, what can I say? It is an absolute thrill to have you here. And I never thought when I heard your music the first time you would be sitting in this chair right next to me. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for invitation, and hello.
Hello.
To everyone.
Hello. It's wonderful to see you here and an honor. And tell us, I guess, a way to start this off is to share with us just a bit about that amazing piece that I heard yesterday. You know, it was really, I feel, so incredible about your music, as our listening audience will discover, is that your music combines new sounds with tradition. So it is hard not to have a real, I guess, a real feeling of that you're communicating to your audience while you're presenting something new. I mean, the instrumentation with the choir piece yesterday was just absolutely incredible. Share with us a bit about the piece that the people that were there were lucky to hear.
Seneca's Zodiac was commissioned by the Crossing Choir and Donald mm-hmm. Nelly. And I was so glad for yesterday's performance. They did really great job. And the result and the way how they sing, in the beginning, before the coming here, I was worried, you know, what kind of choir is the Crossing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I knew that they performed my two pieces last year, but I never heard them singing live. And first rehearsal, yes, I arrived from London, yeah. And I went straight to rehearsal. So I was very tired.
You must have been tired, sure.
Oh, yeah, such a long day. But they were so great. Mm. The so precise in intonation, and yeah. The lyrics spoken or sang were so readable, audible, mm. And so, and I just, and they have learned my piece so well,
yeah.
And I just, you know, it was so easy, and I felt from the first minute there warm, welcoming, and it helped me, it gave me encourage to go straight into rehearsal.
This is going
to
go, sure.
Yes,
sure.
And so yesterday piece, Seneca's Zodiac, it's about the falling sky into the sea, mm-hmm. how Seneca the Younger describes it yeah. in his tragedy. And he describes every constellation. And when I started to compose this piece, that was night, I went into my kitchen, all dark, and I was looking on sky, mm. And I read the poem, and the music started there.
Wow. You know, it was really incredible, I have to say, with The Crossing, is the huge audience they get for new music. And that's very, very encouraging. And was also extremely encouraging. Eriks, you got one heck of an ovation after that piece. It was really wonderful. And like I said, you know, it combines newness with tradition. Just give, I'll take a couple of seconds, I guess, to just mention some of the various instruments that were in that work accompanying the choir.
Yeah, what I find very interesting is that I would like to break this gap. This is instrumental music and this is choral music.
Yeah.
So I want to join these things mm-hmm. Because I find these are new colors.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I asked the choral singers to play wine glasses. tune mm-hmm. by water. Mm-hmm. And they also sang in paper and comb.
Yeah.
And they played Tibetan bells. Mm-hmm. And I used also prepared piano.
Which you played.
George Crumb
already
did it many years ago.
Yeah.
So,
it was just totally memorable.
Whistling.
Yeah, that too.
Humming.
Everything goes. I mean, but it came to something very deep and very spiritual, the whole thing, which was just wonderful. In fact, you know, I can remember the very first time I heard your music. It was back in April of 2007. I had received a package of CDs from the Latvian Music Information Center, and in it was a CD containing your Passion and Resurrection. I put the CD in my player and was taken with this very creative work of very deep spirituality immediately. And I have to say, go beyond that, it literally blew my mind. It was just an experience like in music, you know, when you put on a CD with somebody, and your name was new to me at that time. When you put on a CD and that's what I find very exciting about this program, what I do every week here. And I was just so taken with it, and the audience is going to have an opportunity to hear this piece in just a few minutes, the entire Passion and Resurrection, which has been played, I think, two or three times over the last several years here already.
Thank you, Marvin. Your program has been the first to perform my music in the States, so I'm very thankful.
Well, you're very welcome, I just am very happy that I have the opportunity here to do stuff like that here. Wait till the people hear, as we're going to talk about the piece in just a few minutes, but wait till people hear that soprano solo in that. that's all the way up there. I mean, that is an incredible solo part you wrote. Well, let's go back. Let's do some other talking first about just a few things. We want to we'll talk about, of course, your career in just a moment, but just say a brief statement about the importance of choral music in general to Latvians. I have read that Latvia's choir competitions have the excitement of the Olympics.
Yep. Every 4 or 5 years we celebrate national-wide song festival. Mm-hmm. And every village, every city has its own amateur choirs, whether it's youth choir or adult choir. And every 4 or 5 years, we meet on an open stage. It's about 13,000 singers join their voices together in a special program, about 25, 30 songs that we learn during these 4 or 5 years. And it's really big event for every Latvian, I would say, because we come together and we
that's
feel
nice.
that's our
thing.
Nation.
That's a great thing, actually.
So, and such kind of nationwide song festivals are now just in Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia,
yes,
and Lithuania. This idea or this tradition comes from Germany, but in Germany right now they don't have such a big song festivals anymore. So we are keeping this tradition, and we find that Latvian nation is the nation that sings, and that's why foreign people notice that we have had singing revolution, that when Soviet Union disappeared, we received our freedom.
Yes.
I would say we didn't fight with, of course, there were some, later there was some people died because of Oman forces.
Right. Yeah.
But we gathered together in that open stage and we had manifests and we sang.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And you're a singer also. Well, you were in part. In fact, you're still singing in the Latvian radio choir.
Not Latvian radio choir.
I'm sorry.
Latvia state choir.
Oh, pardon. Okay.
There is a big difference, yeah. I would say. Oh, Latvian radio choir is 24 singers.
Okay.
So chamber choir.
Chamber choir.
Latvian state choir is 50 singers.
Okay.
And yeah, but all professionals and all extremely
wonderful.
High quality.
Well, that leads us now to your early years. In fact, let's go a little bit to the, I guess you could say, the Eriks Eschenwald story. We'll start with that. When did you decide to get into music, and when did you get into composition?
I was about 10 years old, or 8 or 9, and suddenly, in a break in children's music school, mm-hmm. in a choir class, we had a 5-minute break, and I was just in a funny mood, and I grab empty sheet music.
Yeah.
And I just wrote some kind of 16 notes and I added lyrics like la 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 la.
Right.
And then
right.
I showed this my new song, funny song to the teacher, and she played it on a piano in that same moment, and she said, you should continue to do something like that.
And the rest is history.
I was surprised of her answer. So, and really, I started to do the next step. And, you know, the next step was because of Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her songs. And another song, another singer was Sandra.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. So, and I learned to play all these pop music songs, which I really liked. And I started to compose in such...
In that style.
In that style.
Wonderful, wonderful,
yeah.
Wonderful.
And then was one song, and I showed it to my mom, and she said, beautiful, you should continue. So, and I continued to write. At that time, I was already like 13, 14 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I became a Christian, and mm-hmm. I had in a church youth ensemble,
right.
and I started to write
right.
songs for that ensemble. So that was a real beginning.
That's wonderful. Well, I mentioned about your education briefly at the beginning, but you also really, I guess you could say, broaden yourself and have attended a number of international master classes. You actually have attended quite a few. And with whom did you, very briefly, you just say a few of the names of the composers you've taken these with or been part of?
I have attended a masterclass by American composer Richard Daniapour.
Right.
Whose music I very like.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him in France. Then I studied with Jonathan Harvey.
Yeah.
And French Philippe Manoury. And then Klaus Huber.
Oh,
and
wow.
The most important composer was Michael Finnissy from Great Britain.
Great Britain.
And can you imagine,
yeah.
Michael Finnissy, he was at the very beginning to establish the new complexity style.
Mm-hmm.
And Darmstadt School in mm-hmm. Germany. Yeah, but his philosophy, I was so amazed of his ideas that he gave to his students.
Mm-hmm.
And my style is not new complexity, yeah, but his, and when I listen to his music, I feel the emotion. And that's mm-hmm. what I keep in my every piece. I want to show the emotion.
Wonderful. Well, we are going to hear a piece with incredible emotion right now. This is your Passion and Resurrection, dating from 2005, and this is a very powerful meditation on the story of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. It is scored for soprano, solo, choir, and string orchestra. Now, Eriks, it is now your turn. Why don't you tell us a bit more about the background of the work and give us a very brief description of each of the work's four movements?
Yes, I think I will tell you about the beginning, how I composed it. It
sure.
was a commission for Latvian State Choir, where I was a singer.
Mm-hmm.
I was a new composer, and yeah. and they did this risk without any idea what to mm-hmm. accept.
Yeah. I guess they made a good risk, though, I'll say.
Yeah. So, and you know, I was in France,
mm-hmm.
in south part of the France, hot day, and I was working in Montpellier, narrow roads, and suddenly I hear beautiful music. a voice singing ancient notes. And I entered that music store and I asked, who is the singer? And that was a monk, Lebanon monk.
Wow.
Lady. How you say the nun.
Nun.
So I have to learn English more. So, and she sang Easter stories.
You know what I'm wondering? What did it happen to be? There is one Lebanese nun whose music I play here. Sister Maria Kairouz?
Yeah.
It was.
The same.
Unbelievable. Yes. It's a small world. It really is. Go ahead, my friend. I'm sorry. Keep going.
So, and I heard her. Yeah. And I decided to write story of Christ's passion and resurrection from the perspective of you of Mary Magdalene. And I wanted her to be Mary Magdalene because I liked this ancient singing, the short songs that she sang. Yeah. I wanted them to be involved in my new composition. So I wrote to her and her agent replied, yes, we are very interested in your new piece. But somehow my second and third letter was not answered. And and the deadline was coming.
For getting it going.
Yes, and I decided I will do the traditional way. I will have Requiem or Missa Solemnis or these scale works.
Sure.
I decided to have operistical soloist. Mm-hmm. And then I changed to completely another direction.
Yeah. Well, this is, I guess, why don't we go and hear it? Because I want to, the thing about it, Eric, I want people to hear as much of your music between now and 11 o'clock as possible. And that's what we're here for. And I'm going to go right to this, and then maybe we could talk briefly about the work after it's on the air. We listen now to Passion and Resurrection, dating from 2005, by my guest, Eric Eschenwalds. And in our performance, we hear soprano Carolyn Sampson, along with members of the choir Polyphony and the Britain Symphonia. Stephen Layton is the conductor. And I have to say once again, this is an amazing choral work of our time. We listen now to Passion and Resurrection by my guest, Eric Eschenwalds.